sing this song, we encourage you to come find your seats. In the front, please. Thank you. anything from our busy daily lives, I would just like to use this time that we could just let that go and give it up to God. We just prepare our hearts to worship Him, prepare our hearts for the worship today, for the message today.
Jesus, I'm sorry, Lord.
chorus, he says, "My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me." Those two lines, he's saying that because Jesus came down and died for us, we're no longer bondage to sin. He's our Savior, which means he saved us from going to hell. He saved us from our sins. This next song that we're going to sing, the chorus says that God is indescribable and uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. He's all-powerful, untamable. Awestruck, we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim that you are amazing, God. Thank you. because you place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. Is he that he created all of us, and he knows each of us individually. He knows how we act and how we are and all the mistakes that we make, yet he still loves us the same. He loves us so much that he gave us his only son to die for us. Thank you.
Father, we come before you. We just sang a song that says how great is our God. And I sense that, Father, that though we are saying it with our words, and your words very clearly says that there are times that our heart is not here. There are even times in your word that says to the Pharisees when they were saying that you think you're singing praises, but I can make the rocks cry out if I need to. Father, today, I feel like we're missing that component of seeing how great you are. Maybe it's because we haven't seen it in a while. Maybe some of us are drowning of deeper frustrations, obligations, concerns, that the greatness is so far away that we don't even sense it anymore. So when we sing this, Lord, it doesn't seem to be there for us, Father. That's why we ask that you come before us, and that's why we ask you, Lord, to draw your spirit and to prick our hearts. Let us know that you're here. That, Father, that every time when we wake up and we breathe, it shows God's faithfulness and his greatness. Father, we don't need to be here. You are a God who could just close our passage of air and we pass from this life onto the next. And because that is your greatness, you allow us. There's nothing in us. There is nothing in us. We don't even know what the next day awaits. In fact, we don't even know what the next minute waits for us. But there are times where we feel, Lord, that we don't need you. And that's why we had this lost connection of the awesomeness of God. Because oftentimes, Father, we come before you saying, you know what, Lord, I got it. I have a handle on my life. Everything is going well. And then there are people, Lord, that are saying, it's not going so well. And Lord, why are you doing this? And so, Father, we come before you. Wherever we're at, whatever we're going through with our lives, Father, we ask you show your greatness. Even when the things that we don't see and we take for granted, we show that you show your greatness. We thank you, Jesus. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. Him one more time. How great is our God? Unleash the Spirit as we say.
How great is our God?
Sing with me. How great is our God? And all will see how great is our God.
Thank you.
says in the word, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess one day, Lord. And today we come before you with our hearts. Our hearts, Father, we want to worship you. How great is our God. We ask all this, Lord, in your wonderful, precious name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to ask Rebecca to go ahead and pass the love offering. Again, we are so grateful that God has used you in sharing the word through the monetary giving. And God has truly blessed us. And I'm so grateful that God has continued to bless you in this work. So what I'm going to do is just do a word of prayer. And then I'm going to hand it off to our pastor to speak the word today. Why don't we just bow our heads, close our eyes, and give glory to God for the things that he's given us. Lord Jesus, we just thank you and praise you for today. Thank you for who you truly are. In the book of Matthew, Father, we thank you that the stories there unfold that says, why worry when you are the provider? He says even in his word, Father, that you remind us that when we look at the birds, they aren't even worrying. How much more of value are we? But you remind us in your word, Father, that it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. And Father, that's what we're doing today. We're giving back the things that you have given to us to remind us that the things that we are concerned about or the things that we might be overly worried about, Father, you've taken care of those. And we just thank you and praise you that you would use these blessings, the offering that you have now just moved around through this room. Father, I thank you that you would use it in a mighty way. Father, I pray that it would use it to further your ministry, to reach out to the lost and dying world. And we just thank you and praise you. Father, I pray now for our pastor, Ed, as he speaks the word. Father, open our hearts. Help us to listen with an intent of hearing from you what you want us to hear. But as we hear it, your word says so very clearly, Father, help us not just to be hearers of the word, but doers. Be obedient. And we just thank you that the words that you're about to speak through your messenger, that you would bless it. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor Lucian. Good morning. How are you guys today? I know it was a very, very dim, how should I say it, very sad day for a Sunday. It's been raining, right? And I overslept. So yeah, I picked them up like 7:40 to be here at 8. Anyway, I thank the Lord because once again, I forgot to turn on my sprinkler and he gave us rain. Amen. Praise God. And also for our new visitors, thank you for coming here. Rowan and Sally, we welcome you. We will continue with our Fortifying Our Foundation series. It's our third Sunday, is it? Yeah, third Sunday. And in 2 weeks' time, before I proceed, 2 weeks' time, we will have a visitor, the pastor of Wynn Austin. He will be here also because he wants to let you guys know about his mission trip, and just to give you more like a introduction to that one. So he'll be here at the end of the month, last Sunday of the month. Now, let me ask you one thing. When I say a name, tell me what comes to your mind first. Let's all be honest, okay? Let's all be honest. What comes to your mind first? We're going to play a little game. And when I ask you, when I say a name, just raise your hand and tell me what you think about that name. Like, for example, Pastor Lucian, right? So what comes to your mind?
Cool.
All right. I'm not gonna, but he's not part of it. Okay, so this is it, all right? Abraham Lincoln.
Honest.
Sister Marietta, you raised your hand? Oh, she was just fixing her hair. Okay. Yeah, Jason? President, who else? What else?
Tall.
Okay, he died. Yeah, he's dead. You know, when I mention Abraham Lincoln, what comes to my mind is the beard. And he's sitting on that thing, that big chair. So he looks gigantic to me, right? But yeah, he was the president. What about... not Pastor Wright. What about Julius Caesar? Caesar, what comes to mind? Yeah, you the leaf, what do you call that thing? L'Oreal. L'Oreal? Not L'Oreal. L'Oreal is the soy sauce that you pour on your food, right? L'Oreal. Laurel. Is that Laurel? Is that right? You know that thing? Anyway. What about?
The Senate. Shakespeare.
Okay, Shakespeare. What about Christ? Jesus. Savior, cross, the cross, what else? Son of God? Be honest, okay? Be honest, the first thing that comes to your mind?
Sing a song.
Sing a song. What else? Maybe the crown of thorns? You know, just like what Sister Emily said, when Christ comes to mind before, I see a person nailed on the cross. I see a person nailed on the cross. That's the first thing that comes to mind, right? Or sometimes it reminds us of a picture that we see. Like maybe he's sitting down on a big boulder and patting a sheep, right? Patting a sheep. I'm not sure because we've read the Gospels and it didn't say that he was patting a sheep, but for sure he did, right? But if one of you would say, holding a hammer and a nail, I would probably believe that because he's a carpenter, right? But most commonly, we think of him as one who is nailed on the cross. Do you all agree? Yeah, that's what we see because that's what most of the picture that we see about Christ. But today, we will try to understand who Christ really is. Because sometimes if we, from birth to maturity, when you grow up, we sort of like have an idea of who Christ is based on what people tell us or what we see, right? Like your dead grandpa or your ancestors, you know, they have a sword or something with a beard curled up like that. Those of you with Spanish lineage, you think that, you know, this is my great grandfather, right? And he fought with Magellan. And you're thinking of a helmet, right? And a shield and a sword. Because that's how the story was brought to you. That's how you see it. That's how you imagine that person. Now, most of the time, our faith in Jesus Christ is based on the fabrication that people say about him based on what they have also have known about him growing up. Is it clear? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So what we're going to do now is to try to remove that image of Christ in our minds and see the real Christ. Because when you talk with people who claim to be Christians, you know, and you talk about sin, and they would say, I've had this conversation several times with some of my friends, but God is love, right? Because they know God is love. So I don't think he's going to punish me for my sins because he loves me. See, because we portray God as only a God of love. We don't portray him as a God who is holy and who cannot withstand sin and who hates sin, right? That's the reason why nowadays in the world, there's more like a being politically correct or something that you are not supposed to offend anyone. Hey, brother, you know what? Doing that kind of sin is bad. That's against God. And you get offended, right? You get offended. Even Christians, when the pastor up here would say something about Christianity, sometimes or read a verse, and it's in the Bible, and we get offended, right? But it's God saying it. We're just reading it. Why? Because we have a different view of who God really is. So let me. Last week we discussed about John chapter 1, verse 1 to 5. Let's go back to that one. Verse 1. If you can read with me in John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of man. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Now here is the proclamation of John regarding who the real Jesus is. Right? Who the real Jesus is. He made some bold assertions about who Christ really is. First, that Jesus is God. Second, he created all things. He is the source of life. And he is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the Son of God. And he is fully man and fully God. Right? That is what the book of John is telling us based on the verses that we have read. Now, when we think about Christianity, most of the times we think about Christianity as a religion of do's and don'ts, right? We think about, like, have you had a friend whom you shared the Word of God and he claims to be Christian, but then when you talk about the Bible, he doesn't want to talk about the Bible. Why? Because, as one of my friends told me years ago, he said, you know what? Because the Bible tells you a lot of things that you shouldn't be doing. So I was like, yeah, I mean, you know, those are the commands of God. But why don't you really want to read the Bible? It's because he doesn't want to find out that he's doing his will, not God's will. Right? So it's a do. We want to do what we want to do. Right? Not what the Bible tells us to do. Even Paul was struggling with that. Remember? When he said he wanted to do one thing and yet he was doing a different thing. And although when we come to Christ, when we surrender our lives to Christ, what happens? What happens? Because we love God, we don't do the things we want to do, right? Or we used to do, but rather do the things that he wants us to do. The reason is because you have gone to know Christ. Like, you have a girlfriend or you have a boyfriend. You don't want to do anything to offend your boyfriend, right? To offend your girlfriend, right? You try as much as possible. I'm talking to the youth, right, Kyle? Right, yeah. He said, okay. Once you invite your girlfriend into the car, you open the door, right? Right? You want to be a gentleman, right? And then if there's a puddle, I want you to learn this. If there's a puddle, you take off your jacket and put it on the puddle and let her step on it, right? Because if we let them step on the puddle and stuff like that, then that's minus point, pogi points to you. So we sometimes do. Why do we do that? Because we want to impress our girlfriends. We want to impress the person that we want to court. Or sometimes, if it's just a friend, we want to let them know that you are a Christian. But Christianity is not about impressing someone. Right? We don't impress God by our good works. Right? We do those things because we love Him. We do those things because you love your girlfriend. You open the door. Right? I don't know about when you get married. My wife can attest to that. I used to open the door for her, not anymore. I'm alone. So, what do we see from there? Christianity is all about relationship. It is all about relationship, right? It is about faith to the one whom you accepted, Jesus Christ. Now, when we look at those verses that we have read, we see that Jesus is God, just like what He said, right? In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 to 2, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom He made the universe. Just imagine if you were living during the Old Testament, right? During the Old Testament times, you only hear the word of God through the prophets, right? You only hear the word of God through the prophets. They have the book of Isaiah, they have some scriptures, but they don't have the New Testament. And then when Christ came, He was the one speaking. When you look at the Greek meaning of the word, became God, the word means the messenger. Christ is the messenger that brings the word of God to all men. He brings His message to every one of us. And that is the reason why it is also important for us to continue reading our Bible. Right? Now, we see that in the very first verse that we have read, in the beginning was the Word. What does that tell you? In the beginning. It tells you about God being in existence even the eternal past. He's been in eternal existence, right? What comes to mind when we read the word at the verse, in the beginning was the Word? Your eyeglasses? No. What comes to mind when you read, in the beginning was the Word? Does that not remind you of Genesis chapter 1, verse 1? In the beginning, right? Yeah. So, God has been in eternal existence. The Greek word carries the idea of continuance, or to be, right? Now, before the worlds were created, God is. God is. And in John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. We read that God has always been there. God has always been there. And we know about God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and God the Father. If we look outside, we sang earlier, the heavens declare His glory, right? It declares His majesty. It shows us that God really existed. I shared with Sister Emily earlier about Pastor Vernon McGee. You probably heard about him, those who are older than me and Pastor Lucien. He already died years ago, but his famous quote that I always remember is when somebody talked to him about God being unfair, and he said, like, you see, God made the universe, right? And he can do whatever he wants to do with the universe. Now, you can do whatever you want to do, but you don't have a universe, right? Because sometimes man, we complain, you know, God is so unfair. How come he punishes? How come my brother died last year? But I didn't ask him that when my brother died last year. But sometimes when we have death in the family, we question it. When we have sickness in the family, we question it, right? Why did God allow this to happen in my life? We question that. And we forget that he is God. He can do all things. He can do anything that he wants to do. Now what do we see here? John's purpose for us is not to argue about God's existence, but rather to tell us who Christ really is. And we need to understand that Christ has been there ever since. Remember he said, when they asked him in John chapter 8, verse 58, he says, "Before Abraham was born, I am." Before Abraham was born, I am. So, he is the great I am that spoke to Moses in the burning bush. He is the great I am that commanded Abram to leave his where he was at, his family, his relatives, and go to the promised land. He was the great I am who told Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. And the Word became man. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 to 8. Who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. When the Word, Christ, became man, he was fully man and he was fully divine. He set aside his deity, yes, but he was still fully divine. He never stopped being divine. He never stopped being God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. What do we see there? The Word was with God, the Father. When we think about that, we think about the fellowship of the Son and the Father, right? We think about the fellowship of the Trinity. God is not just God-like. I mean, Christ is not just God-like. He is God himself. He is not just a good representation of God, because he himself is God. So we just want to make that clear. Sometimes, as Christians, we think of Christ being in the cross, and what does that represent? A man dead on the cross represents what? Weakness, right? It represents weakness. And maybe there are times that maybe that's the reason why there are some Christians who don't really have a view of who Christ is when they accepted him as Lord and Savior, because the minute when they think about Jesus Christ, they still think of him as being still nailed on the cross, being dead, or being one who is petting the sheep, being one who's so compassionate. But if you read the Revelations, he comes with his army. Right? He comes with his army to judge everyone. And we must think about that, how strong Christ is. Just imagine when the very first time that he opened his ministry, what did he do? He came against the Pharisees, the leaders of the synagogues. Right? And then he told them, He told the crowd with some of the Pharisees there, he said, if your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, you shall never enter the kingdom of God. Just imagine if you're a Pharisee then, what would you feel? Right? You will feel offended. He's saying something that is not politically correct. Right? And so you try to make laws to forbid or ban men or Christ. That's why they banned him, right? And they even banned the disciples to speak. You see, history is repeating itself. Nowadays, you cannot actually just go and share the gospel because you might offend someone else. You cannot say Merry Christmas now, right? Because people might get offended. See? It's coming back. Why? Because they don't have an idea who Christ really is. Even those Christians who admit that, yeah, you know, it's going to offend someone. Yeah, I don't want to greet him Merry Christmas. I'm just going to say, hi, happy holidays. You know, I don't want to... But then, would you rather go against God or against man? Now, I read yesterday about the Southern Baptist. I just want to relate this to what... They decided that the speaking of tongues is, you know, would not forbid any pastor. They would not... Like, before they used to ban pastors who speak in tongues to go on a mission trip. They banned them. Now, they agree that if you're a pastor and you want to go on a mission trip and you speak in tongues, you can go. No, they admit that now. So, I think I made a comment that this more like is just like what Gamaliel was saying when he said, you know, if we ban these disciples from saying the word of God, right, and we might be going against God. If this is from God. But if this is man's plan, then it will die a natural death. To paraphrase it. You know, it will die a natural death. So Christ enjoys a face-to-face communion with the Father. Just imagine that. Christ himself is having fellowship, face-to-face communion with God the Father. That just tells you who Christ really is. And then... It says, and the Word was God. What can be more clearer than that? Right? The Word, meaning Jesus Christ, was God. He is God. Right? So Christ is God. He was with God in the beginning. In verse 3, through Him all things were made. Through Christ all things were made. So Christ is a creator. Right? He's not just one who came down, became man, got nailed on the cross, and that's it. He was also a co-creator with the Trinity, with the Father, and the Holy Spirit. They are in perfect cooperation together. You know, because in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, then God... They use the Elohim, it's a plural word, Greek word for God. Let us make man in our image and likeness. The three persons of the Trinity are at work in the creation. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. In him was life, and that life was the light of all men. Now, just imagine, for us workers, when we have like the CEO, the manager, or who has the power to remove you from your job, to fire you, when he says for you to do something, what would you do? You're going to follow, right? You're going to obey. Because otherwise you will lose your job. Just imagine for a person who has the power to kill you. and he tells you, give me 10 push-ups. I can't do it. I can't do it. I can only do one. You're not going to say that, right? You're going to drop down and give him 10 push-ups, even if you're just cheating, right? Because he might kill you. But imagine if a person who can kill you and at the same time throw your soul in hell. Who would you follow? That guy who can kill your body, or Christ who can kill your body, snap your body out, and at the same time throw your soul in hell? Right? But oftentimes we are more afraid of men than of Christ, because we have the tendency to think back and see the image of Christ nailed on the cross, or someone who is just continually loves us and does not judge us. You see the difference? So, Christ is also the source of life. Life is inherent in the nature of God. Life is inherent in the nature of God, and the Son has life in himself as well. He says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Right? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So, that is very clear. Christ can give life. Right? Now, this is very, very interesting. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 3, it says here about Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And in verse 4, and the light was the light of men. So I was thinking when I was reading this, didn't he say that you who lacks wisdom, right? And then we say, Lord, you know what? I have a test tomorrow. I ask for wisdom. And yet for the whole week you did not study. I ask for wisdom. Is that the wisdom that God was talking about? In Colossians 2, 3, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. What does that tell you? Christ is wisdom himself, right? When you accept him as Lord and Savior, what does that make you? A wise person. I mean, think about it. And that's why he calls those people who do not believe in him as foolish men. Right? And then that the life that is in Jesus is more like the illumination we all need. In him, we have wisdom. In him, we have understanding. Now, without him, we are in darkness. Right? He is more than a reflection of light. In 1 John 1:5, God is light. Christ is more than a reflection of light. He is light himself. Jesus said in verse 12 of 1 John chapter 5, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And later John wrote, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. You see, that really shows us who Christ is. He is not just the person that we accept as Lord and Savior, and then we turn our backs and just do whatever we want to do. Right? That is the reason why whenever we come here on a Sunday to worship him, we need to imagine, or we need to put in our minds and our hearts, that we are worshiping a true and living God. I don't feel like really worshiping, so I'm just going to read the songs and just make the right tunes, and that's it. God is looking for true worshipers, one who worships in spirit and in truth. Unless we have a very good idea of who Christ is and who we are in Him, then we won't be able to achieve that level that we need to really come before Him with all the respect that He deserves, with all the glory and thanksgiving that He deserves. Everybody wants light, everybody wants life, right? Sometimes we want to be cats because we want to have 9 lives. Everybody wants eternal life. We all do want eternal life, right? And that is one of the promises of God, that when we accept Him as Lord and Savior, we have eternal life. When we have Jesus in our lives, we have eternal life. Now, let's recap. The 5 assertions that you see on your Sunday word that John has written about Christ's deity is His eternal existence. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. His face-to-face communion with the Father. And the Word was God. It is a direct statement of His deity. And then His capacity as Creator. And the last one, He is the source of life and light. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. Now, why do you think John opens his book this way? Why do you think John immediately started on this gospel? What I believe is, and I know all of you do, because John wants us to understand who Christ really is. Remember John, when he was in exile in the island of Patmos? He had a revelation. He saw Christ in all His glory. In all His glory. Just imagine what would you do, what would we do, if we saw Christ in all His glory? We'd probably be falling down, bowing down on our knees, and not thinking about, I don't know what my pastor would think if I kneel down before Him, you know, before Christ. We lose that self-consciousness because we are in awe in the presence of God. That is what John wants us to feel, just like what he did. What happened to him? He laid down prostrate like dead. Right? When he saw Christ. That is what John wants us to understand. That Christ is not just the person who people stoned, who people nailed on the cross, he spat on. He is a person that loves us, and at the same time, that would judge us in the coming, in the future. I would say in the coming soon, just like a movie theater or what. Coming in the future, right? He will come and judge us. And we need to understand that the Christ that we are worshiping now is not anymore on the cross. He is there seated on the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. Just imagine that. John chapter 20, verse 30 to 31. Let me read this to you. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of His disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. By believing you may have life in His name. In verse 11 of chapter 1, John also wrote, he came to what which was his own, but his own did not receive him. His own did not receive him. Now we might think, yeah, I received Christ as my Lord and Savior. So this verse particular doesn't really, you know, talk about me. Because it says, but his own did not receive him. But is that enough? And later on we will find out. In verse 10 of that chapter, he says, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. So what do some people think about Christ now? He's just a prophet, right? He's a very good man. He's a good teacher. I remember a few years ago, I watched a video about this Christian ministry. They were interviewing people in the street. What can you say about Christ? Oh, he's a good teacher. Oh yeah, I've heard of that name. You know, things like that. People do not recognize who he is. They don't know him. They don't know him. And that's still, this was written hundreds of years ago, right? John wrote this, and I could probably say about 2,000, almost 2,000 years ago. And until now, we still hear of people who do not really understand who Christ is in their lives. Even Christians who have accepted him, they don't really understand who Christ is in their lives. Why? Because of the way they live. The way they live, you still don't see it. You still don't see. In conclusion, in chapter 16 of Matthew, remember Christ asked the disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? Who do people say the Son of Man is? And some say John the Baptist. Some says he is Elijah, right? Others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But here's the question that Jesus asked the disciples. Who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? Now that question is a very important question because it's a very personal question, right? Who is he in your personal life? Peter answered, remember, Peter did not answer this by what he knows. The Holy Spirit revealed this to him, just like what the Bible says. And Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now let me ask you, brothers and sisters, as we read God's Word, as we read the Bible, we see so many things that pertains in the Old Testament talks about His coming. The New Testament talks about His resurrection, life eternal, what He has done. So when we read God's Word, let me encourage you to ask yourself, who is he in your personal life? Who is he really in your personal life? I want you to think about it. Has the Holy Spirit made that revelation clear in your heart? Or is it just a cold orthodox doctrine that you have accepted? But the question is, who do you say God is in your life, Christ is in your life? John wants us to understand that Jesus is the Christ, He's the Messiah, He's the anointed one, one who would come. In John chapter 20, verse 31. John wrote, these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. So that is my encouragement to you, brothers and sisters. We have dissected the fact of who Christ really is. He is God. He is in existence even before everything existed. He is the source of light. He is the source of life. And He is our Creator. When you accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, have you accepted Him of who He is? Or you have accepted the Christ that you think should be the Christ? Let us pray. Let's all stand and just bow our heads in prayer. As we think back, in order for us to really stand firm on the Word of God and to really come before Him with humility, respect, we want to know who Christ is in our lives. And I encourage you to really think hard. To really think hard. Father God, we come before You today. We thank You, Lord God, for allowing us to really understand and get a grasp of who Christ really is. The one whom we accepted as Lord and Savior. He is not only a Savior, but also our Lord. And Father, if we have failed, we have failed in our lives to make Him as Lord of our lives. Father, we pray, may we recognize that. May we see that. Because if we are not showing the life that would have transformed us, Father, we ask You, let Your Holy Spirit convict us and transform us in the name of Jesus. Let us have that desire, Lord, to fully, truly commit our lives to You, to fully understand who Christ is in our lives and who He really is as God and Savior. Father, we thank You for everyone here, O Lord God. We thank You, Lord God, even for our brothers and sisters who are not here, Lord God. We lift them up to You. Whatever they're going through, wherever they are right now, Father, we pray as one in spirit, Lord God, that You also allow Your Spirit, Lord God, to prick their hearts and let them see, Lord God, what is lacking in all our lives. Father, we want to worship You, to truly and humbly worship You in spirit and in truth, O God. And teach us, O Lord, teach us to really bow down before You and acknowledge that You are our Lord and Savior. This we pray in the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.
Let's stay standing as we sing How Great is Our God. Let all the earth rejoice. All the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice.
How great is our God.
Nothing in us, as we stated before, that is great. It is only through you. All of us, Father, the life, creation that have been shown in your word today, Father, that it's only because of who you are and your awesomeness and greatness, Father. And we just thank you and praise you in Jesus' wonderful, precious name. Amen. Can you be seated for a second? Okay. A couple things. I do want to do a change up on Sundays. I am a firm believer, if you read in the book of 1 Corinthians, that a great service generally transpires this way. Usually, the preacher, a person would come up and share the word. And once they completed sharing the word, generally, and this is the interaction between the people, God's people, and the messenger. If they have something that they want to share from what they've learned, when they're sitting there and hearing from what the messenger is saying, and they feel compelled that God is touching their hearts, that they want to share something, they ought to. That's 1 Corinthians. That is very biblical. And do you know why that's important? Because today in American churches, most people are disengaged. They're pretty much sitting there with their eyes wide open and maybe some closed. That's why people sit in the back. But they have their eyes closed and possibly their minds closed. And that's why when the book of Corinthians was talking about that as a congregation, he opens up the door because it allows the Holy Spirit to talk to everyone and saying, that's great. What he just said is so true, and here's how it applies to me. And unfortunately, unfortunately, this is what's probably distracting us. Let's be honest. If you guys are going to be honest with me, I want to be honest with you. Most of you sitting in the back are probably looking at this. And looking at games. And you're looking at what you call, it's 1 o'clock and the Houston Rockets is about to win. I don't know. Actually, I haven't been in the game, so I'm not engaged in it. It starts at 2:30. Okay. So this, she knows already. And... no, she just has it written in her heart. But what I want to share with you is, here we are in disengaged because of this. And our pastor, Pastor Ed, has challenged us to do things. And I've actually asked him to do this next series. Our series in May and June is about the foundations of Christianity. And why is that so important? If you look in the very book of 1 Corinthians, it says here, there is no foundation other than what? Christ. And if you build anything on top of that, I'm going to tell you right now, you're playing on clay. You're riding on things that are like what the wise man said, right? A wise man builds his house upon a... oh, wait, I can't hear it. A wise man builds his house upon a... and a foolish man builds his house upon a... and when the rain came down and we got good, I'm telling you, I love the house that I'm staying in right now. When they say flash flood, I got to be honest with you, I am very close to where the water is running through. And all it needs to look like is another additional 4 feet. And I would probably be, rowing the boat. And as my furniture goes out the door, and I wouldn't have to worry about furniture anymore at that point. But as I see it, what happens is that the sand, and if any of you are beach goers, I always walk on the sand, and when the water hits it and you look back, what happens? You don't see your footprints anymore. You don't. You'd be foolish if you did, because you know what would happen. The water just washes it away. That is exactly what I'm trying to get our pastor and myself to walk through. Today was the very first, last week, and the week before was the very first steps of creating a strong foundation. So if you're coming in here and trying to figure out, well, what are we really talking about? Actually, if we don't have a strong foundation, we have nothing. And so I want to share that with you today. I love what he said. Three principles that are there. One, I want to kind of just piggyback on a couple thoughts. Number one, do you know the article "the"? Did you read that in the? Did you even look at it? The word? Did you guys look at the Bible? It says, "In the beginning was the what? The word. The is final. There is no in addition. In fact, one of the things, if you guys are familiar with Jehovah Witness, you know what Jehovah Witness translates that word the? A. Now, see that article? The word and a word. Do you know what changes? I'm going to ask you guys. Do you know what changes? A makes an option. It gives it alternative to the word, not a word. So Jehovah Witness will come to you and make it sound like Jesus is a word. And so when you look at him, man, it sounds good to me. And if you're not in the word, if you don't have a foundation, you will miss that one letter article that says the word. That means it's final. When you go before God, that's final. There is no, hey, Jesus, let me negotiate with you with that article. No, to him, it's the word. It isn't a word. Guess what? That means his word is final. Do you see what I'm saying? It isn't, there's no compromising with God. It is the word. That's why we live in the world today of compromises. Politically correct. I bet you guys walked in and compromised somewhere, somehow today. You made some compromises. You made compromises on the way of life. The way of life. I told you before, JCPenney, the guy who created JCPenney, he lived on the principle, the opposite. Because what he did was, he lived on 10% rather than the 90%. What he did was, he went the opposite and he gave 90% to God and he lived on 10%. Francis Chan, I love him. Actually, I joke around with my wife now about him. So how are you doing with that boyfriend of yours? Because every single time I see her now, she's in front of the TV and Francis Chan is on. And this guy, basically, he's a millionaire by status. You know why, right? He wrote the book called Crazy Love, and he's made millions upon millions because of the book. And you know what? None of that goes to him. And do you know why? I want to know if you guys know why he doesn't want to get that money. Do you guys know? Because he doesn't want to be tempted by it. He knows how much enough is enough. And that's what he wants to live. He goes, he knows he's chosen his foundation, that the word, he is going to live that way. And so I've been talking to Pastor Ed, and I am going to try to build this series that you guys cannot live on your own. You need Jesus. You can't. And if you do, remember we talked about Clay? Clayton. The guy, the young man, 18 years old, was ready to die. He knew. His foundation was so secure. And it was secure on who? On Jesus. It wasn't secure on, hey, you know what? My friends think that I shouldn't, you know. No, it's nothing about friends. It's not even the church. And it's not even the family. It's actually just Jesus. What's your foundation on? And that's the challenge that we're trying to drum up here to make you more aware. And there's one last thing, and I want you guys to feel free. I'm changing the format a bit. I want you to be engaged to what Pastor is talking about, what I will be talking about and sharing, so that you should be free to come up and say, you know what, Pastor Lucian, Pastor Ed, this is what I heard, and this is what I learned. This is how I'm going to apply it, and this is the way I'm going. Because right now, if I were to tell you, and I don't know if this is true, okay? I'm just tossing out a number here. If you were to find out only 10% of the people in this church is going to heaven, what would you do? I mean, look at you. Look at the person on your right. Come on, look at him. And look at the person on your left. And what if you find out that only one of you is going to heaven? What would you do differently? I love that answer. Okay, man, you better look at him. You're not going because I know I'm going. I love that. But I'm telling you right now, it starts with the foundation of Christ. If you don't know it, you're going to be going. Here's what you're going to do. You knock at the door. I never knew you, man. I don't even know how you got up here to ask me the question. I thought you were going to be down there because your name is not in the book of life. Honestly, 2 years ago, and I said this to the young people, 2 years ago, I thought we were growing gangbusters. And we were. So I told them two things, and there were about 20 of them. And I said, look to your right, and look to your left. And I said, probably in a couple years, those people would have gone. And they have. See, I just want you to know this is not something that's not true. It is true. In a bigger context, in those big churches that you see today, they're struggling the same way we are struggling. You look to your right. Yeah, look at Crianne, Addy. The thought here is you have the freedom to come up here and share God's word. And I want you to get that opportunity. If you learned something, if you heard something that really pricked your heart and said, wow, that is so cool. That is exactly what I wanted to hear. And Lord, help me to do that. Help me to do that. Can I close with one thought? So I'm going to speak from my own vocal voice. I actually, and why I'm so motivated by this. As you know, you notice that in my Bible, there are no chapters. It's just a book. You're just reading the book. And you're not reading any chapters. And what motivated me so highly about buying this was, this is the New and the Old Testament put together, was because our group went through a book study, I called it a book club. And what really, really excited me is my wife. I've been married to that woman almost 30 years. Almost 30 years. And in that 30 years, when we began our ministry together, or when I began my ministry together, I always asked her this. So you guys are a very unique group in this case, the young people. I said to her, daughter, you love the young people? Because the way she loved the young people is she would go and go to the kitchen, cook the food, prepare the food, and then kind of go to the bedroom and hide. And you never see her again. But because she has gotten into the Word of God, I saw some this past year. And so this is what's beautiful about the walk with God. It isn't, oh, you pastor, you're going to tell me when to start. No, it's actually between you and God when that timing occurs. But I will try to pull you towards more doing it now rather than later, because when you turn 55, which I will be in December, you start to think about life differently. And I prefer that you don't go back. Okay, I'm gonna tell you right here. You're 62 years old. I should have said that, right? Here she is, and myself, and you look at it and say, wow, I wasted my life. I could have done more. And now that you young married couples, I'm full, you're over here, and let's say you're a 30, 40. I'm trying to get you to pull you up as close as you can to where I am today, because I don't want you to go back and say, oh man, that solution, I wish you would have told me that. Because actually, if I'm looking at it right there where you're at today, I would look at it and say, what a waste of my life. I don't want you to waste your life. I don't want you to waste your time, and I don't want you to waste your life. I don't want, this is the one thing I want you to hear, I don't want you to hear regrets. I want you to hear these words even far better than what my God may say to us. But to you, I want them to say, welcome, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into my throne, because in the right now I've got a lot of crowns. You should. Lara, man, I want you to have hundreds. I do. I want you guys to have hundreds. I want you young people to have hundreds far beyond the mic I could even think about. I want you to do that. I'm going to pick on you, Joey, a little bit, okay?
Yeah.
Those are
thorns.
I want you to, him and I, we were conversing over here, and I don't want to take a lot of time, but him and I, we were just talking here off to the side. And honestly, Joey, when you were sharing with me last week that you were saying.
Psalms 95:6.
Yeah, huh?
Psalms 95:6.
Yeah.
But, my favorite verse.
Can you share it? Or do you?
Because nowadays, I think people nowadays, it's very rare for people that they worship God in kneeling down, by kneeling down. That's why that verse, it tells me that to worship God every morning, to kneel down and pray. Because that very word of God says that, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Worship and bow down.
Yeah.
How about we just pray, oh, thank you, Lord.
Or like
I like
this.
That verse.
Sleeping, sorry.
Psalms 95:6.
But you know the other conversation that we had, I want you to know, him and I, we were talking. And I'm just going to dissect a couple things real quick. Number one, we were talking about some of the members in the church and how come this church really isn't growing the way we need to. And he was sharing with me that he was among with his friends and he was sharing, but I looked back at our conversation and I was, he wants to share. I love that. He wants to share with his friends. And as I was talking to him and as I went back home, Joey, you know, and I hope it's okay, I think this is because we are all this. He was afraid. You hear that? He's afraid. Are you afraid? I mean, be honest with you. Are you afraid? Because guess what? I'm afraid. Because I don't want to stumble. And I don't want to look like an idiot in front of a guy who might be scholarly, he's like valedictorian, super cum laude of the university of MIT, Harvard, and Stanford, and you're trying to tell him about Jesus, and he comes to you, do you know what my degree is? Microbiology. And he talks that way, and you're trying to prove to him about Jesus' existence, and you're telling him, hey, yes, I'm afraid. I want to let you know I'm afraid too. But this is where it begins. And so I was thinking, Joey, I pondered about you this week. And the reason is that we're afraid. I was thinking, you were so actively, you said when you were in the Philippines, you were actively doing it. You were actively sharing the Word of God because your comfort level in the language, this is what I was thinking to myself, in language, you were able to communicate clearly the Word of God to the Filipinos, where now you're hanging around with a bunch of Hispanics, Vietnamese, and English speaking, and it makes it that much more difficult. Now you have to learn the content, but now you're trying to translate it into English so that you can coherently communicate the Word of God. Young people, you guys are already English speaking, but you're still afraid. You guys are afraid. Or maybe, can I just say this? You're not afraid, but maybe you're just not. Remember that 10% that I'm talking about? I'm sorry. You know, you could think about it and say, is he telling me the truth? Is he really saying that I may not possibly be saved? Yeah. Because the Word of God clearly says that if you have the Spirit in you and you believe Jesus is in you, what does he say in the Bible? The Spirit will give you boldness. Anyone who says contradictory to that, that means you better check out if you really are. Or maybe we're not praying and asking God to release us from that fear. So today, getting to this, my wife, I love her so dearly. She, for the very first, don't tell her secrets, okay? Because I'm going to deny them. Oh, I'm on video! Too late!
Busted.
Yeah. John took the video, man. So, what I'm going to say to you, what I noticed about her, she reads, she spends time with her boyfriend, Francis Camp, and then she writes down her notes, and then you know what the most beautiful thing that she does? I come home, and she shares with me what she is. You guys do that? Ask, do you guys love the Word so very much that she can't wait to share it with somebody? And I am so eternally grateful that God has given me this book. And I'm honestly, I want to be honest with you. Yesterday, I absolutely didn't do anything. I told my daughter, I was telling her, when you go to practice, I'm going to go to work. Actually, I didn't. I just stayed home. And for the very first time, I'm reading it with no verses, no chapters, and just from the book, and showing God's wonderful story. Father, I just pray today. I kind of extended it a bit, but I felt God through you would talk to me. And I wanted to just share this. Lord, I want to change the whole format, even when I'm preaching, Father. I just want the people to be able to share. Even when I hear from Joey, Father, I want boldness like that for this group. I don't want them to be afraid anymore. But Father, if they're afraid, will you give them the confidence? Will you let them hear from your Word that there were many men before us who were willing to die for you because they knew, they saw. In fact, they saw when you were here in earth, you were actually seeing, you were healing people, you were feeding them. And they themselves were being able to be used by God to do the same thing like Paul, Peter, James, John, Father, as they were sharing these stories of how great you are. The fear, while there may still be there, Father, the effect in the Holy Spirit to give them boldness. Father, I pray that today you would come before the people here today. Anyone here, Lord, that you know, you already know the people right here in this very room who are very much afraid. Can you just grab that fear, take it away from their hearts, Father, and give them and replace in there the spirit of boldness? Because it's here. All we have to do is ask. And what I'm afraid of, Father, is what Clayton said. There are people here thinking they're going to heaven. And they're not. And they keep beckoning the Holy Spirit. They keep reading the Word of God. And it doesn't make any sense. And it's not penetrating there to their heart and through their soul. It's because they don't even know you as their Lord and Savior. You know, Father, you know who those people are. You know they're sitting in this room today. And like what Clayton said, he is more fearful for those people because they think they have a lifelong journey of ensuring that they got about 85 years left in their lives with the kids today. They think there's no way I'm going to die. No way. I just can't see myself dying right now, Lord, because I know there's going to be a next day and a next day. And so I'm comfortable with that risk. But Lord, you know that. They don't know. But today they might die. And so I asked them, if they don't know Jesus, and you know they don't know you, will you lay a heavy burden on their hearts right now? Because Father, you know that if they go, they're going to hell. So you know, Father, who they are. Can you put a heavy, heavy, heavy burden on their heart? Help them to ask those questions that are so relevant. Father, we wait. I love when you say, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will let me in, I will come in and eat with you. Father, your word very clearly said. And I ask this Lord, in your precious name. Amen. Jesus. Amen.
Announcement to all the youth and the youth parents. I just want to remind you about our mission trip. And I just want to say how God is awesome and He has provided us enough funds to raise for our mission trip. So the original price for our mission trip is $266 per camper. But now because of our fundraising that we've been doing since the beginning of the year, the price is now down to $160 per camper. So God is really good and God is awesome. So, and I just want a short meeting after the service for the youth parents and youth so that we can register real quick for the mission trip online. That's all. Thank you.